Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here. It's such a wonderful, blissful atmosphere. This grants us a wonderful separation from everything else that is going on out there. In the news, a lot of shootings, a lot of chaos. But it's good to be here in such a sanctified atmosphere where every one of us can focus on the Lord and just enjoy Him. You know, a few months ago, I went for a training. Then, in the church meeting. Then, I went back to work. And I was just a week after I went to that church training. Then, somebody was asking me, I work in the hospital. I'm a physician. And he was asking me a question. And I said, Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, by the time you all leave the camp here, you should have such a prevailing life that when your friends see you, they're going to know that something of the Lord has really been wrought into you.
Amen.
Right. I pray that the Lord will work this out in each one of you, that even at your young age, don't feel you are too young. Samuel was 11 years old, right? Yeah, when he was called by the Lord. Yeah. So this morning we are continuing the key topics. And somebody told me the other day that it's key topic because it's very important. And we kind of shared the other day that without all these key topics, the Bible is empty.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We really need to treasure this time that we are all here together. Yeah. Please open your outline. That would be lesson 11 for this morning. Can we declare the title together?
Amen.
Key topics of the Bible. The church. Amen. 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 How about everybody we declare Romans 1 together? Church. Church is the goal God wants to obtain in his eternal economy. Each one of us who is saved participates in this goal that God may obtain his heart's desire according to his good pleasure. Amen. Amen. How many of you has never had a message about the church before? Has everybody had a message about the church before? Yeah. Amen. It seems like, why do we need to talk about the church again? Don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
May our vision be renewed.
Right.
Amen.
May we have a fresh revelation whenever we come together
for
this kind of gathering. Yeah. So that the Lord can have a way to help us live in the reality of his heart desire.
Right. Right.
We don't want to live apart from God. We want God, we want to live in the reality of his heart desire, and we want him to live in our living.
Right.
That is why it's so crucial for us to see the matter of the church. The church is God's goal.
Right. Amen.
Wow, I pray God's goal will be my goal. So when I was growing up, you see, my goal was to go to medical school. I went to medical school. I've been practicing medicine for about 37 years. Now, what else? I came down to the basic thing. After you accomplish so much, you see that they don't have any meaning anymore. What gives your life a meaning is when you are filled, you are in the same goal that God is after. May the Lord work this out in each one of us. That we would take God's goal as the priority of our life. You know, I have 3 children. My children are grown-ups now. They live apart from us. Me and my wife, we are in the same house together. We used to have a crowd. But now it's emptiness. We look at each other. If there's no Christ in our living, our life will be so empty.
Right.
Yeah, but I really thank the Lord today that I'm in the church life.
Amen.
You know, when I came from Nigeria in 1985, it was so interesting. I was Anglican. I did not realize that there's much more to life than being just in something that is so divisive and does not have a true representation of God's goal, which is the church. You see, in 1989, my wife came to the church. 1988, my wife came to the church life. I was dragging behind. Then in 1989, I came in too. The Lord is so merciful to me.
Amen.
After I came in, you know, my children, especially my son, he used to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch TV. Then when the saints started coming to our house, they started singing with them. Then I saw that my son changed. In the morning, instead of watching TV, you know what he's watching? He's listening to the church song.
Wow.
You know, the song he likes to use to be, he's a little bit more outward. I have two daughters. But my son is a little bit more outward. If he's enjoying something, you can know. Then when he gets to the bathroom in the morning, you know what he's going to be doing? He's going to say, "Good morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you for today. Thank you for my spirit. Thank you, I can pray. Good morning, Lord Jesus. To you I love to sing. Thank you, Lord, for everything." Amen. You know, I thought it was my son that was saved. But really, it was less problem for me too. Because if your children are enjoying the Lord, you are faced with less of heart attack. No worries. Because they are enjoying. They are for God's goal. You see, the reason why I'm giving you all this testimony is for every one of us to see the characteristics of the status of the church. You see, the first one, let's declare Romans 2 together. The statuses of the church in God's economy. A, together. The term church is ecclesia.
Which means all about the same.
Amen.
Indicating that the church is a congregation called out of the world by God.
Amen. Amen. So we all need to be impressed with the fact that we have all been called out of the world.
Yes.
You know, Genesis 1:26, I know it's our favorite verse, and it's very critical that every one of us should know Genesis 1:26. It said, man was made in God's image, according to his likeness, and let him have dominion. This was the man God created for his own purpose. But the enemy came and damaged man. And man continued to fail again and again until he fell to the uttermost. So the man that God created for his purpose became one with the devil, with God's enemy. It became the world. Who knows John 1:36? John 3:16. Does anybody? So love the world.
He gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
Everyone
lives in him. Amen. May not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Our God is a God of purpose. Even man became fallen. Man became joined to the world and married to the evil one, but he did not give up on man. He came, he called us out of the world. You see, that is the first characteristic of the church. We are the called out ones, ecclesia. Yeah, and we all need to be impressed that none of us can escape the world by ourselves. The world is of the devil, is under the usurpation of the devil. It's like the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, they were usurped. They cannot use their time for God. They cannot serve God. But God, in his mercy, he called every one of us out of the world and bring us back to himself. Yeah. So the word ecclesia, we all should treasure it. That we are the called out ones. We are called to do what? To serve our God.
Amen.
To love him, to care for his interests. Amen. We are called out. We are separated from the world. We are no longer of the world. Of course, we are in the world, but we are separated. You see, I like to gather because as called out ones, we are a God's we are the assembly. Yeah. You know, there was a time I went to a foreign country and I had the urge. I want to gather. Then, that was a few years ago, somebody told me that, oh, just put the name of that church.org that you can find the saints there. Then when I put it on the internet, you know what, the church in that city just came up.
Wow.
Then I called them. It looks like they have known me for a long time ago. This is what is beautiful about the church life,
yes.
That we are the called out ones. We like to gather. We like to be separated from everything common.
Yes.
Do you like to be separated?
Yes.
You know, it's easy to say that here.
Yeah, right.
It's only when you go back home. On the Lord's Day morning, when your parents are waking you up, how hard it is for you to get out of bed.
Yeah.
I pray that the Lord will motivate, inspire every one of you. That when you go back home, it will no longer be different. It will be difficult for your parents to get you out of your bed. How about the young people's meeting on Saturday? Sometimes you like to go and enjoy the world with your friends. But really, the world is satanic. We need to be joined to the Lord. So I pray that we all will be in the reality of this world, that we need to have the reality of ecclesia, that we are the called out ones that need to be separated from everything else and be fully separated unto God. So we must have a great and thorough separation between the church as the ecclesia and the world as a system, the cosmos of Satan. As the assembly, the church is separated entirely for God,
right,
so that he may have a means to carry out his purpose.
Right.
Yeah. How about item B together? We declare it. The church is the body of its house. This house refers to God's dwelling place. And also refers to God's family, God's household. God's household is the free from soul. Amen. 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 You see, I want to share three verses for you, with you, so that you all can be impressed with the matter of the church being the house of God. See, you have 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "If I delay, that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth." So as God's dwelling place, the church is both God's house and his household, his family. Wow, we are in God's family. Wow, I really treasure this. This is a unique family of God.
Right.
No wonder I went to Taipei. People there don't look like me. Then when they saw me, they feel so happy. I was told before I left the U.S., they said, Asian women don't hug. This sister came and broke the rule. She hugged me. She was so happy to see me. You know why? We have the same life. We are in God's family.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. I pray each one of you will really treasure this.
Amen.
When we see the saints, we break loose.
Amen.
Because we have the same life.
Amen.
We have the same nature. We have the same Father. This is so good. And this is so wonderful to me. You see, I never saw anything like that before. I was in Anglican church for so many years. You know, you go from one Anglican church in a place, you go to another one. If they are taking the table meeting, they kind of look at you that you don't belong here. Whereas in the church life, it's so rich and real. Amen. When the saints see you, you really know that you are part of God's family.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, work this out in our living.
Right.
I pray that the Lord will impress every one of you that the church life, you will not take it for granted.
Amen.
You will see that the church is God's goal. And as God's goal, wow, we are a member of his family.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, the first characteristics of the status of the church is that it's an assembly of the called out, of the ones called out of the world. Then the second characteristic is that the church is God's house composed of those who have been born of God.
Right.
This second characteristic is a matter not merely of separation. You know, when you talk about the church, as the assembly is a matter of separation. But here, as the house of God, is something very spiritual because it kind of indicates we have a divine birth, that we have been born again of God.
Amen.
That is why we can belong to God's family.
Amen.
If you are not born of God, you don't have his life, you are not his family.
Amen.
You know, on Tuesday night, I was here when about six young sisters, well, they are now sisters. They got up and confessed the Lord's name. Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
We don't belong. You see, if you have not received God's life, it means you still belong to the devil. People don't realize that. And there's no middle zone. You are either here or there.
That's right.
Yeah. But I was so glad that the enemy, the Lord caused Satan a loss. Those that were usurped, you may not realize that you have been usurped. you don't belong to satanic world. You are in darkness. But I was so glad that the Lord released some to declare the Lord's name.
Amen.
They received God's life and they are born again.
Amen.
Oh, that is the beginning of their Christian life. And I pray that each one of them don't delay, that you will outwardly declare with the whole world and be baptized that I belong to God.
Amen.
I'm a member of God's family.
Amen.
May the Lord work this out in all these six young ones, you know, that stood up on Tuesday night. Right. Amen, 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 amen. Is the house of God just the meeting place where the physical building, where people meet? No. You see, we need to see it in the right perspective, that we are the house of God. We need to be impressed over and over again. If God has a house, we are the house of God. Yeah, I want to impress you with this verse. Is time is okay? Time. Oh, okay. This is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. It says, Christ as his son over his house, whose house we are. We are the house of God.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor and say, we are the house of God. Wow, this is so rich. We can claim God. God can claim us. We are the house of God.
Amen.
And remember the verse I declared with you before. He said, if I delay, that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The church of the living God is the house of God, so the church must be living.
Amen.
Are we not living?
Amen.
Wow. Not just living hopeless, without hope, no joy, The living God, who is the reality of all positive things, is living in us. And is working out his heart desire in each one of us. So may the Lord grant us more reality and more and more enjoyment of him. So I also want to touch one more thing before I finish my speaking. It's Ephesians 2:22. It said, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. You also. The Apostle Paul was talking to the Ephesians, to the local saints there. Even today, he's talking to us. That you also, we also, we also are being built together into a dwelling place of God's Spirit. The church, the dwelling place of God on earth, is the place in which God can have his rest and put his trust. Isn't that great? Don't look at church as something so little. It's very critical in God's hand. Amen. It's God's house. Right. That is where, that is his dwelling place. That is his place of rest. Right. That is where he can put his trust. Oh, may the Lord help each one of us to really see the light in these words and be inspired and be filled with it. That, Lord, oh, this is your house. We are your house. Amen. This is where you find your rest. This is where his heart desire can be fulfilled. May the Lord work this out in each one of us. See, when you go back home after the summer school of truth, I know the first week everybody is burning. Right. Then as time goes on, how can you keep this kind of prevailing life? But I'm so glad that you all are not just coming from just nowhere. You have families that have units of the families in the church life. Right. That each one of you will be kept. When we see you next time, you will be full of more and more Christ. Amen. We will see that you are really having more and more reality and more enjoyment. Right. Yeah, that the triune God is really not just a slogan to you, that he's triune so that he can be dispensed into you and you can have a wonderful enjoyment. Amen. of this one.
There are a few aspects of the church in your outline that we have. We may not be able to cover all of them, but I want you to underline these few. In letter A, underline the called out assembly, or the word assembly. And this is related to our meeting together. So on the margin of A, I'd like you to write meetings. We are a meeting people, and we need to treasure the meetings. Many times, this has happened. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but the young people come to the church meeting and they look inside where the saints are gathering in there, and they don't go in the door to the meeting. They stay outside in the lobby, you know. And so then I asked them, I said, well, you know, come on, go on into the meeting. And they say, no, nobody's in there. And I said, what do you mean nobody's in there? There's 100 people in there. And then they say, yeah, but none of my friends are in there. So they don't feel comfortable to go in and sit next to somebody as old as me or Ola, right? But actually, we should realize these are our real brothers and sisters. These are not just, you know, some strangers. We should get to know some of the older saints. My point is we need the meetings. So write that down. Meetings. You need the meetings. You need to be in the Lord's table meeting. If you have a home meeting that you can go to, you need to go to the home meeting, because we are believers, and believers are assembling They're people who assemble, who come together. If we never come together, where is the church? It doesn't exist. If we don't meet, the church is just a theory. We have to meet. So we want to impress you with this thing, the meeting. And then God's household, God's family, I want you to write in the margin, brothers/sisters. We are really and genuinely related in life. We have the same Father. We have the same eternal life. So we need to take care of one another. We need to love one another. We need to get to know one another because we are in the same family. Okay? Ben, can you come up and help me? Sam? And can you come up and help me too? Okay? Come up. Let's stand up here. Come on. Amen. This is Zachary. Okay? This is Sam and Zachary and Ben. And they may not look alike, but they are really brothers. They're brothers. Because they have the same life. They have the eternal life. They have the same Father. And they are God's family. This is a mirror. This is a marvelous thing. This is a marvelous thing. But I'm burdened for this because many times if Sam brings his friend from school, Zach doesn't know him. And so it's hard for him to kind of greet him and kind of welcome him into God's family, right? And if Ben brings his friend from school, maybe Sam is a little, it's awkward because we don't know one another. But listen, you are not too young to learn how to say, "Hi, I'm Dennis. Nice to meet you. Welcome to the meeting." Good, Sam. Are you Zach's friend?
Yeah.
We should greet them and welcome them in. But my observation is many times it's still, and I understand, I'm not judging anyone, I'm just saying it's hard for us because one of the young people brings their friend to the meeting and they want their friend to enjoy the meeting, but if no one greets them and says hello and welcomes them, how do they feel? They feel left out. That's because we're too cliquish. We like to be with our friends, but we don't like to be with other people. It's awkward for us. But listen, in the church, God loves everyone,
amen,
right? He loves all mankind. He loved the whole world, that he died for the world. We need to greet them and bring them into God's family so they feel at home, right? So they feel welcome. Thank you. They feel welcome. This is very important. So I hope that, related to God's house, the house of God, the household of God, you would consider all of the saints your brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Your brothers and sisters. And if you have a problem, talk to them. If you want to bring a friend, let them know you're going to bring them to the meeting. And we should all greet them. We should welcome them. Not just the serving ones should welcome them. You all should welcome them, that they would feel at home in the church life. Okay. I'm going to touch a little bit on the body of Christ. If you have your Bible, I want you to open to 1 Corinthians 12. The church is the body of Christ is a very crucial aspect of the church because in the body of Christ, you can open to 1 Corinthians 12, we are all members. So in your margin, I would write that down, members. We are members of the body. And then I also want you to write down under members, we are indispensable. We are indispensable. That means you are a critical member. You are an important member. The body cannot exist without you. You cannot be replaced. You have a function in the body. You are an important member in the body. And I really hope you will get this because as we're going to read some of these verses, the Corinthians, when Paul was writing to them, they may have realized they're members of the body, but they thought, oh, I'm not that kind of a member, so I'm not really that important. And put down themselves. Or they said, because I'm such a kind of a member, I don't need you. I'm good by myself. They were too proud of themselves. So Paul wrote to them, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, and let's read from 14, and then we'll stop when I want to make a point, okay? Let's read from 14. How about brothers 14, sisters 15? Brothers, go.
For the body is not one member.
That's pretty good. Very good. But I think you can be stronger. Exercise your whole being, your loud voice, and your spirit. Yeah. Brothers, one more time.
For the body is not one member, but many.
Very good. Sisters.
If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is not that because of this, it is not of the body.
Brothers.
And if the ear should say, because I am not.
Oh, start again. You got weaker. You got to get stronger. Go.
And if the ear should say.
Good. All together on 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole hearing, where would the smelling be? So the first one is the foot. The foot says, oh, I'm just a foot. I'm always getting dirtied on the ground and everything. I'd like to be a hand. The hand is more useful. You know, I'm just a foot. I'm not a hand, so, you know, I'm not important. I'm not of the body. No, that's critical. Your feet, every part of your body is critical,
yeah,
right? If you had hands down here, you couldn't get, you can't play soccer. There's a lot of things you can't do. You got to realize the foot's very important. If we don't have feet, we can't walk to lunch. We might starve to death, you know? Okay, you might say, well, I can walk on my hands. And you do a handstand, but you can't go very far. You're not going to make it. You need the feet. You need the feet. Oh, then the other one is the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. And no, it's not because of this. Yes, the eyes are important, but the ears are extremely important. You know, when you're asleep at night, you're not seeing anything. You're asleep. But your ears are always working. If something happens, there's a crash. The other night in our house, we had a brother staying in one of the bedrooms, and in the middle of the night, something happened, and one of those shelves, you know, and the thing fell down, and a big glass vase crashed on the floor. It made this terrible noise, and, you know, I jumped up out of bed and ran in there to see if the brother was okay, and he was okay, but I told him, don't get out of bed. There's glass everywhere. If he stepped out of bed, he could have cut his feet to pieces, you know. So, you know, our ears are very important. I didn't see anything, but I heard, right? Every member is necessary. Every member is necessary. Okay, now let's read 18 together. But now God
has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, even as he will.
Okay, this is for you. I want you to read it this way. But now God has placed me in the body, even as he will. Read it that way. But now God has placed me in the body, even as he will. God has placed you in the body. He has put you right where he needs you, right where he wants you in the body. And you are crucial there. So you need to learn to function according to your measure, where you are placed in the body. And you know, don't think people are, I'm not like that, so I'm not important. That's terrible. Then later on it says, 21. Sisters, read 21. Right. Brothers, 22. But much rather the members of the body, which seem to be weaker. Now, here the eye is saying to the hand, I don't need you. I'm good. I'm okay. So you're not important. No, that is not the body of Christ. We need to appreciate all the members. We shouldn't be proud. We shouldn't think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. But we should, you know, we should esteem all the members in the body, right? And then the ones that are weaker, they are more necessary. This is hard to understand, but it's really true. They're more necessary. There was a time, you know, when in the Lord's recovery, when we, you know, we were burdened for all the saints to speak and all the saints to prophesy and speak for the Lord. And there were some meetings I heard about. I was not in them, when there was like a beach ball, and the beach ball would, they'd throw it up in the air, and whoever got the beach ball, they had to share. And then they share something, and then they toss the beach ball to somebody else, and if you got it, you had to share. They're trying to get everybody, you know, in the meeting to share. Well, that's good. We all need to speak. We all need to share. But listen, in your prophesying meetings, not everybody shares. And we need to prophesy for the building up, but, you know, not everyone is going to share every week. There are some that are just quiet. And then, in our locality, there are some saints that I don't think I've ever heard speak in 40 years. And I always was concerned about that. And then one time I heard Brother Lee say, you know, every member is crucial. Think about your physical body. When we think about members, we think about the hands, the feet, the heart, the liver, the lungs. But what about your skin? The skin may be the most valuable member of your body. Without your skin, right, Ola? We would be septic real soon.
Yes.
Because the skin keeps the germs away, keeps them out. And he said, all those dear saints that don't speak so much in the meetings, they're the skin of the body. They're protecting us from all the things outside. How? Through their prayer. The sisters' prayer meeting and all the functions. There are many functions that are hidden in the body. We don't realize that. And so we shouldn't, even the members which seem to be weaker are necessary. We should treasure every member of the body of Christ. Amen. Treasure them. Okay. Then the church is the new man. This is an important aspect which we're not going to get into too much, but God created one man, Adam, right, in the old creation, and that man fell. So now on the cross, Christ created one new man. Underline that. One new man. And the one new man will fulfill God's eternal purpose. So we are part of the one new man to fulfill God's eternal purpose. And then the fifth status, am I right? Let's all read E together. The church is also Christ's counterpart as his bride. As the counterpart of Christ, the church receives his love for his satisfaction. This is a matter of his heart's desire, right? This is a matter of love. So in the margin, I want you to write down love. This is a matter of love. We need the meetings to be the assembly, right? And we need the brothers and sisters and to treasure them as God's family. And as the new man, we need to take Christ as our person. But as the bride of Christ, we need to love God. We need to love our bridegroom. And so I would ask you to write Mark 12:30 there, which says you should love the Lord your God from your whole heart, from your whole mind, from your whole strength, right? You should love the Lord. This is a commandment. We need to love the Lord first and foremost. And if you love the Lord, I would say this, if you love the Lord, young people, that will preserve you from many, many problems. Because why do we go to the world? Because we start loving the world. But if we're really loving the Lord and our heart is filled with our love for the Lord, that will preserve us from loving other things. We don't have the capacity to love too many things, right? But we do have the capacity to love, and we need to love the Lord. This is very crucial. We need to love the Lord. amen. I want to give a little testimony here toward the end. How many of you here are 11 years old? Can you raise your hand? 11. Wow, look at that. Okay. Is anybody 10? Anybody 10? 10 years old? Nobody. Nobody 10. Okay. I was baptized when I was 10. I just wanted to find out if anybody else was. Okay, I want to give you a testimony of my sister. We were in the denominations growing up, and we were not satisfied there. We were not happy there. There were reasons, different reasons for different things. One reason is that, my personal reason, one reason was that I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri, which is a very divided town racially. And you may have read something about that. So, come here, Ola. So, when I was growing up in high school, I had Christian friends that were, you know, African-American, and they were black, and we talked a lot, and we loved the Lord. We were actually both Southern Baptists. But in the First Baptist Church of Ferguson, there ain't nobody that doesn't look like me. And he went to the First Baptist Church in Kinloch, which was another neighborhood next to Ferguson. And in his Baptist church, everyone looked like him. Nobody looked differently. And I wondered about this. I thought, this is not right, as a young person. And I was a teenager. I said, this is not right. And I questioned, how come? How come my friend, you know? And people would say, oh, he lives too far away. That was a lie. I drove much farther to get to the First Baptist Church in Ferguson than, you know, he lived right down the road from there. Thank you. So that was one thing that troubled me, is that, you know, the denominations often divide, sometimes by race, sometimes by social economic reasons, sometimes by cultural reasons, but they're divided, many, many reasons. And I, you know, something inside of me wasn't happy with that. And so I was frustrated about that. I went to college. And my sister, she was only 10 or 11 years old. She was reading Ephesians 1, and she read the church, comma, which is his body. And she began to pray, as a young person, your age, she began to pray, Lord, where is your body? I want the body. I know it's not the Southern Baptist Church. It's not just the church in Ferguson. I know it's not these divisions. Where is your body? And so once she got her driver's license, she started to drive from all the places, different denominations, free groups. She just toured St. Louis, you know, the major areas. We lived in the county of St. Louis. And she just toured around. And eventually, she was frustrated because she realized it's about the same. Everybody's divided in their own little thing. And, you know, where's the body? Where's the body? Where are all the believers meeting together? And so one night she's driving home and she told the Lord, that's it. I can't find it. There's no body. There's no body. So I might as well just go to the world. And that was her decision. I'm just going to go to the world. And that night the Lord told her to go to her friend's house, to Lori Brown's house that night. And she hadn't seen Lori in a while. And so while she was searching and seeking, there were a group of high school students who were seeking the Lord, and they got a hold of one of Brother Lee's books, and they were reading it, and they were very impressed by this. And so they called the Living Stream in Los Angeles in those days. And they called them, and they said, we want to meet like this. We want to, you know. And so, you know, the brothers kind of said, what are we going to do? You know, there's no church in St. Louis. And so anyway, Brother Lee heard about that, and on his way to a conference, he stopped in St. Louis for a night and invited these high schoolers to come to meet them. And they were all, I think, probably in the lobby of a hotel or something. They were all around him on the floor, and he was very impressed with them. And so he encouraged the saints in Los Angeles, if anybody would have the burden, to move there to take care of these students. Well, first of all, he told the brothers, I'm very impressed with them. Have them all move to Chicago. There's a church in Chicago. And the brothers said, Brother Lee, you don't understand. They're still in high school. They can't move anywhere. And he went, oh, yeah, okay. okay, how about if someone is burdened, move there and start meeting with them. And then when they get, you know, grow up, finish high school, they can move on to the church nearby. So that happened. Two families moved there. And Lori Brown, who was, okay, so we were very related to, my classmate in high school was Mary Jo Brown, who is now married to Reggie Favors, and they're in Europe serving. And then she got her sister saved the summer before this incident happened. And so Lori was meeting with this young group, with this group of high schoolers in St. Louis. And my sister went over to her house and said, Lori, I don't know, you know, but the Lord told me to come over, and I don't know why I'm here, but anyway, I'm here. And she said, oh, Linda, I got saved this summer. And Linda was, my sister was very happy, always burdened for her salvation, and preached to her a lot, and she never wanted to receive the Lord, but now she was saved. And I'm meeting with the church in St. Louis. Come. And so my sister thought, okay. So she went and started meeting, and she was very touched. the Lord brought her to the body of Christ.
Amen.
Very touched. And she called me and she said, I found it. I was working in New York at that time. I found it. I said, what'd you lose? I found the body. I said, really? Oh, my goodness. Well, tell me. So she was telling me about it. So as soon as I could get a break from work, I flew to St. Louis, and I went to a church meeting. They were meeting in the basement of a bank in North County, St. Louis, and it was just high schoolers. All the sisters were sitting on this side of the table, and all the brothers were sitting on this side of the Lord's table, and there was probably a couple there. I didn't see them. I just saw the high schoolers. And we had the Lord's table together, and I was totally caught for the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
One meeting with high schoolers, I was captured. Why? Because the fragrance of Christ in their consecration permeated that meeting. Permeated that meeting. Brothers, you are not too young to enjoy the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you're not too young to have your goal match God's goal. His goal is the church.
Amen.
That's accomplishing His desire is the church. And you're not too young to have the same goal and to have the same desire. All those high schoolers there had it. And now many of them are, you know, very responsible. Some are leading brothers in the church life. Some of you know Brother Ken Mooney. He was there with them. And that was a very precious time. They were there for 2 or 3 years till they could finish high school, and then they moved to Chicago and were in the church in Chicago. But now we have a church in St. Louis. Hallelujah. And now the saints are there in St. Louis, and that's actually one of the target cities, I believe, this year. So anyway, we are always very burdened for St. That's my hometown, burdened for St. Louis. But my point is, you are not too young. You are not too young as a member. You're not too young for the meetings. You're not too young as brothers and sisters to care for one another. And you are not too young to love the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
And I think when I was in that first meeting, that's the fragrance of Christ that captured me. They just loved the Lord with their whole heart. And they were just there for the Lord's testimony. And this is God's goal. This is what He is after. So I hope that you could also consecrate yourself to the Lord for His purpose.
Amen.
For His church. Then you would be there functioning in your locality, functioning in your church, and finding the meeting. Find the hominy if you don't have one. If there's none around you, start one. Just get the other young people together and start. Let's get together on Friday night or Saturday night. Let's just get together and meet. And you know, invite some to come and help you, some older ones. They will help you because nothing touches the saints more than the young people loving the Lord and seeking the Lord. And they will be there to help you all along the way.
Amen.
But I would say it's good for you to rise up and take the lead. Don't be passive. Rise up. And especially if you're burdened and your friends are burdened for the gospel and to bring a friend, welcome them. You know, talk among yourselves. He's coming or she's coming this weekend. We need to welcome them and make them feel at home. And I think that will go a long way. If they enjoy that time with you and they feel welcomed and they feel like, wow, they're just so caring. They really care about me. They'll come back because that is the love of God reaching them.
Amen.
And everyone needs love.
Amen.
We need love and our friends need love. So we can express God's love in the church life, in the church meetings by welcoming the gospel friends and helping them to know the Lord and to grow in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So I think I'll just end here, and we'll give the rest of the time to you.
good day you are.
Oh, yes. Good, good.
Thank you, Lord, for the church.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you. We are in your body.
Amen.
You know, I meet in the church in Nutley. I feel like I'm the only, or at least one of the only young people in the Lord's table. Whoa, okay. I feel like I'm the only member of the young people in Nutley who are active in the church meetings. And from time to time, I've been encouraging like everyone else who also goes to my Lord's table meeting at Nutley, you know, to at least pray something. I know it's great that we're like, you know, reading a stanza, reading a stanza from a hymn, for example, but I mean, you know, I'm just praying that like it's not just me who functions actively in the Lord's table. I just really want to encourage like all of the young people in Nutley to really, really function. Not just the serving ones praying, but yeah, everyone's prays. Because remember, we're all members of the body. We all share the same function. We can pray even something the same of what our brother says. We don't have to come up with our own way. We just have to pray. We just need to function in the church life, because you know what we're here for? We're here to function. We have a function. And it's really important that we all pray. We all, you know, have a chance to call a hymn, which